You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning. This is Clarissa Alhantara, and I'm hosting the new Lifelong Formation radio program. You may have heard my voice before. I've definitely been in this slot a couple times, and I'm very happy to be back. And this is my first show, and I'm the main host for this program. I am the Senior Coordinator of Children's Ministry, and I've been in the Office of Lifelong Formation for, 3 years? Is it 3 years now? And I'm happy to be here, happy to be hosting a radio program. So we've got an hour, and today our topic is going to be, adult faith formation, kind of in the time of Renew My Church, and really looking at some pieces and some documents and some church teaching-related things that we're using to kind of frame our conversation for adults in the time of Renew My Church. And so the guest I've brought on today is Mr. Adrian Badillo. Is that the right way to pronounce your name?
Right.
Yay! So I'll have him introduce himself and maybe tell us how long you've been in the office and a little bit about your ministry background. Like, what were you doing before you came to the Office of Lifelong Formation?
Okay, thank you, Clarissa, for having me here as host. A little bit about me. My name is Adrian Badillo. I'm born in Mexico, in the northern state of Coahuila, right down under Texas. And I've been practically in the ministry for quite a number of years. I started in my youth days. When I was doing ministry through my youth group. And before coming to the office, in which I've been serving for a year and a half, almost 2 years, a year and a half. Previous to this ministry that I have, I was serving at the University of St. Mary of the Lake for Instituto de Liderazgo Pastoral, working together with the team on the formation of lay leadership and permanent diaconates, diaconate for Hispanics. Before that, I was the DRE at St. Pius V Parish for a number of years too, and I've been also serving in a couple of clinics doing some ministry as a chaplain.
Nice. So you bring with you a breadth of experience.
Just
a couple years.
Just a little bit.
Just a couple years. So tell our listeners a little bit about your role now in the Office of Lifelong Formation, and how does that kind of fit in the office?
Well, I'm a coordinator for the adult faith formation in the archdiocese, and what I'm in charge of is practically bringing formative programs for the arch. So we have talked a lot about the importance of having our adults, our faithful form, properly formed in their faith. And right now, the challenge is how can we bring that formation to the people who are in the pews? And particularly, in a special way, also for those parents who come with their children for the sacramental programs. We have a number of them who are there, but sometimes we don't know exactly how to approach them or what can we offer as a church so that they can be strengthened and they can also grow in their faith. And I think all the documents, I don't think of any that doesn't emphasize the importance of parents mm-hmm. being the main catechist for the children. The General Directory for Catechesis, the National Directory for Catechesis, everywhere is stated that. But how do we do that? So we are thinking on that and how can we implement a formative plan for them, which is holistic, mm-hmm. and which involves all the areas that any Christian Catholic needs to be forming.
So when you say holistic, sometimes in the context of lifelong formation, we think about spiritual, emotional, maybe psychological. Are those some of the things that we think of when we're talking about like holistic adult formation?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Sometimes we may think that formation is only about academics, mm-hmm. or bringing theory mm-hmm. to our people. And that's okay. I mean, but that's only part of the equation.
Yes.
Because as human beings, all of us, we have other components that are very important also to develop. And humanly speaking, those areas need to be also strengthened. They have to be filled somehow in a formative process so that we become more and more like Jesus.
Oh, that's a tough.
Hopefully,
that's
yes.
That's a high bar.
Yes, it is. All of us, we have a life with a very sacred story mm-hmm. to tell. And that life involves a lot of issues. How can I grow up as a person, as a human being, not only as a Christian, but also in my relationship to my children, to my wife, to my husband, to my neighbors? And how that growth also helps me to grow up in my faith, and how my faith is related to that growth, and how they go together.
That's a lot. That's good, though.
Yeah.
That's a lot and very, very good to consider. Is the work that you're doing now connected in some way with Renew My Church? And how are the pieces that you're working on connected to Renew My Church?
Well, Renew My Church is bringing a change in the way we do things. It's not that what we do is wrong, but time change. Mm-hmm. I mean, our lives change and everything is changing. Mm-hmm. And lately, the speed of the change is really fast. Mm-hmm. So how can we keep up with the pace of the changing? So the method needs to change also. So Renew My Church is about a renewal. And the way we are going to bring the formation has mm-hmm. to be renewed too. So right now, what we are emphasizing is the encounter with Jesus. Mm-hmm. It is okay to have a curriculum. It's okay to have all these doctrinal issues that we have to know, probably to learn by heart. But it is very important. If we want to form what Pope Francis is calling missionary disciples, it is important that we come to an encounter with Jesus Christ. And that's the first step. So we're going to be really thinking of how can we, as parishioners, as people of faith, come to an encounter with Jesus in the different arenas that we live in. Mm-hmm. In our work, in our families, in our communities of faith, in our movements, everywhere. That's the first step. Mm-hmm. And there are other things that we have to consider also for this formation.
Okay. Can I pause you right here?
Sure.
And then let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll talk with Cardinal Blaise Cupich about worldwide protocols put in place by the Holy See following the historic meeting in Rome on the protection of children. And we'll give you a behind-the-scenes look at the televised Sunday Mass from Mercy Home for Boys and Girls.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years, then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Rich Daniels is the director of the City Lights Orchestra and president of the Archdiocese of Chicago's Immigration Ministry Advisory Board.
It's about a safe background for the people who live here. It's about safe haven for those who want to come. And it's about a legal path that has sensible limits to it, that doesn't take $30,000 in legal fees to acquire. It doesn't take 16 years or 12 years to get yourself into that position. It really lacks any compassion and love for those people who really want to be a part of this country.
The Immigration Ministry promotes a society where immigrants are welcomed and where their cultural gifts are celebrated.
My goodness, this country would not be where we are today were it not for the immigrants from Ireland, from Poland, from Italy, from name it. It's just an amazing array of individuals who've come to our shores seeking a better life for themselves and their family.
Please support the Immigration Ministry by attending the Keep Hope Alive benefit Monday evening, May 13th, hosted by Cardinal Blaise Cupich. For more information, call 312-534-8383. That's 312-534-8383.
Good morning, and we are back with Lifelong Journey. This is Clarissa Alhantara, and I'm your radio host for this morning, and I'm joined by Adrian Badillo. He is a senior coordinator of adult faith formation in the Office of Lifelong Formation here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And by the time I'm done saying both of our titles, I feel like I should take another breath because there's a lot. There's a lot. But I think that also reflects our task as coordinators in the Archdiocese of Chicago in terms of, you know, how we are kind of re-envisioning and reimagining faith formation from children's ministry, where I'm kind of working, up through adulthood, which is anybody over the age of, I'm not really sure how we're defining it. But when we left off, Adrian was starting to tell us about reimagining adult faith formation, especially looking at the five phases. And we started with encounter. And then where do we move from encounter when we're thinking about reimagining adult faith formation? Like, what is that? What are some places we're going to?
Okay. Well, going back to the encounter, and because it is so important, the encounter with Jesus is the pivotal point of where everything starts. So all this faith in Jesus is gonna be a process. So we want to make sure that encounter is there. So this is one of the five aspects that we can consider in the formation. We want to make sure that every single time we have the opportunity, we make the possibility for an encounter with Jesus. Because that encounter is not only the first one and that's it. No, that encounter needs to be renewed every single time that we can. So the closer to Jesus, the better, because the better understanding, the better connection, the better reminder, and then the better other aspects that we have. So the encounter comes to a very simple thing, which is the announcement of the kerygma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
God loves you. That's what every single human being is longing for, love, to be loved by someone. and Jesus is offering that to us. So as much as we can bring it to the people, to our faithful, to anyone in the world, the better. So we want to make sure that formation includes that, so that we really come to that encounter. And from there, I think another aspect is the conversion. Because once we have heard about this wonderful God that loves me, then we have to come to a discernment and to take a decision. Do I follow this Jesus or not? And if I want to follow him, then I have to leave something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's conversion. I decide to put all my cards for this project of life in Jesus Christ. And that has to be something that continues all of our lives. Every single moment we have to have this conversion as part of my formation, but also my life. So this is the consequence of having that encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's beautiful. Of course, conversion, in a special way in the sacrament of the reconciliation and the confession, when we go to Jesus and we really, with all our heart and mind, we decide to follow him. But also in every single step that we do, when we are with our families, conversion, how do I treat my child? How do I talk to my wife, to my husband?
Mm-hmm.
Conversion, having always in mind Jesus Christ. Yep, definitely. And another aspect that we have to think also is being a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one thing is just to come for Mass, sit at the pews, listen, and go back with no change in our lives. We want to make sure that whoever comes to our church becomes a disciple. And disciples are all those who are following Jesus. So we have to decide, not because we are imposed, not because of any obligation, but because we have discovered something that is worth to follow. And here is someone who is offering a project of life for me, and I really fall in love with that project. I fall in love with that man who happens to be my God also,
mm-hmm.
and who loves me so much that I have no option but to follow him because it's so attractive.
Mm-hmm.
So many times I find an issue in parishes where the statement is something like this. Okay, a lot of kids come to the religious education program. They go through the sacramental preparation. They receive the sacrament, and they go away. But they don't come back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the story also for confirmandi. And that's the story for many of the parents of those kids and those confirmandi who come to our parishes. So why is happening that? Well, probably where our faith is not mature enough to the point of considering these people disciples.
Yeah.
It's still in the process, but we need to make sure that the discipleship is something that happens.
Yes.
So that our faith keeps maturing up to the point where we want to not only be enclosed in our parishes, but to be sent out and to reach the missionary aspect.
Well, let's go ahead and take a break, and then we'll come back and do a little bit more.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm Adam Fuselier from Dumox Ministries, and we're excited to introduce our third Echo Theology of the Body Camp, held right here in Chicago. At Echo, we explore the teachings of St. John Paul II, and we dive into questions like, who am I? What's the meaning of my life? What's all of this stuff about relationships and discernment? How do I pray? And many other questions just like it. Teens and young adults join us June 14th through the 20th at St. Xavier's University for an amazing Echo experience. More information can be found at respectlifechicago.org, or you can give us a call at 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355.
Hi, my name is Ramona. I'm a caseworker at Catholic Charities. I wish you could meet Craig, age 23, shot three times and homeless for 2 years before I met him. The more we met and I listened to him, the more he impressed me. We're working on his resume and job hunting. We're called Chicago's Good Samaritan, and you can be one too. Might you have a job for Craig and thousands of others like him? Join us at CatholicCharities.net.
Hi, my name is Sajit Silva, and I work for Catholic Relief Services in Sri Lanka. During this Lent, respond to Pope Francis' invitation to share the journey and stand alongside those bearing the crosses of hunger and poverty by giving to CRS Rice Bowl. 25% of all funds raised in the Diocese of Chicago through CRS Rice Bowl stay in the Archdiocese of Chicago to help people in this community, with the remaining funds serving our brothers and sisters in countries around the world. Visit archchicago.org/CRS to learn more about the people and communities you support through your Lenten gift to CRS Rice Bowl.
Good morning, and we are back with Lifelong Journey. This is a show hosted out of the Office of Lifelong Formation. It's a beautiful Wednesday here in Chicago, and this is Clarissa Alhintera. I'm here with Adrian Badil. And we are talking a little bit about encounter, discipleship is where we left off, and we've got a couple more to talk about in terms of how we begin to know Christ. And the reason we're talking about knowing Christ this morning in the adult context is Adrian is the coordinator, senior coordinator of adult faith formation here in the Office of Lifelong Formation. And we wanted to learn a little bit more about how the work he's doing helps inform how we are going to change our approach to better meet the needs of adults in our parishes, and maybe adults who obviously aren't in our parishes, but we want to kind of bring them and invite them back and help them know Christ a lot more and a lot better.
All right.
So, Adrian, yeah, take it away. We've got a couple more.
Well, yes, we have talked already about the importance of the encounter as one of the aspects that we need to cover with the formation in order to be holistic. Discipleship, the third one. But another one that is very important is the communion aspect, because as followers of Jesus, we are not alone. We don't do things on our own, but in community. And even the mission is not my mission. It is the church's mission. It is the mission that the church that sends its faithful out to live out their lives. You know, so the Christian life cannot be lived in an individual way. It has to be lived in families, in parishes, in communities of faith, consecrated life, based communities, but always as a communion of people. And that's where we are called to share not only what we have with others out of generosity, just as our God is generous to us, but also all what we are as people of faith, as people who are compassive, who are listeners to others' needs, people who are able to be moved in their hearts so that we take action toward the helping of others who are in need. So communion is the fourth aspect that we want to make sure the formation, any formation that we have at any level is considered. And the last piece, that would be like kind of part of the goal. And it is to form not only discipleship, mm-hmm. but also a missionary discipleship. So those who have gone through this process, having a first encounter, which is renewed, having this conversion, deciding to follow Jesus, which is renewed every time too, and having this attitude of discipleship, of belonging, and having this desire to belong, but in community and do things with others, end up also in wanting, desiring to share this with others who haven't had the opportunity to experience this beautiful encounter.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we go out, and that's mission.
Mm-hmm.
We go out to share it with whom? With all those who do not know Jesus. Yeah. I'm pretty much convinced that there are many kinds of poverty. There are those who are very poor because they don't have the means, they don't have food, they don't have. But I think there is another kind of poverty, and I think it's even worse than that one. And it is not to know Jesus, because this is a spiritual poverty. So, and if we are the disciples, we are rich because we have that richness, and we cannot hold it for ourselves. We have to share it with others.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the missionary aspect that we want also to make sure that is included in every single stage of formation, no matter what.
Is there a personal story that you have, that you, a short personal story you wouldn't mind sharing, that maybe touches on one of the five pieces that we talked about, that illustrates for you, whether it was encounter or being sent out or mission or discipleship, that as an adult you thought, you know, this is where I've come to know Christ?
Well, yes, during my life I have had a number of beautiful experiences that every time I've experienced something like that, I learn and I'm renewed. But I go back to the first days when I was young, and actually it was an experience that I had through my youth group, because my youth group, which was my entrance into the church life, they have a component in their formation, in the formation that they have, that was actually doing ministry. We have to choose between four different kind of ministries, and one of them was going to a nursing home with the elders. Another one was going to an orphanage just to visit the children who were living there. Another one was visiting all the homeless in the downtown area in the city, and another one was going to spend some time with the drug addicts in one of the hot neighborhoods in the city, close to the cathedral, which is where I was, the group was based. So, and that happened every single week. After Mass, once Mass was over, then we were sent out. So, go.
Can I stop you for just a moment? We're going to take another break, and then we'll hear a little bit more about that.
All right. Thank you.
Who am I? What does it mean to love? Why was I created? We'll address all of these great questions and more at Echo Chicago this June. Hello, I'm Dawn Fitzpatrick from Respect Life Ministries for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Echo Chicago is a Theology of the Body summer camp for teens and young adults. The Archdiocese is partnering with Dumox Ministries to present a week of prayer, fun, and immersion in the teachings of St. Pope John Paul II. This exciting camp will take place at St. Xavier University in Chicago, June 14th to the 20th. Registration's now open. Go to respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355 for more information. That's respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355. Early bird pricing is available until May 1st. All of us feel an echo in our heart to explore God's original creation and his true purpose for us. Join us in June for Echo Chicago.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. Every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago.
Good morning. This is Clarissa Alhantara, and we are back for an episode of Lifelong Journey, a radio program hosted by the Office of Lifelong Formation. I'm your host, and I'm here with our guest, Adrian Badillo. He's a senior coordinator of Adult Faith Formation in the Office of Lifelong Formation. And Adrian was telling us a little bit more about the different journey that we would take in his own encounter and how he got to know Christ. And so he was talking about an example of, I guess, youth group or young adult group. I'm not really sure. And please finish the story for us.
Okay. Yes. Story short, I decided to follow the path of visiting the nursing home. And that was like a challenge to me. I couldn't stand with elders. That was the reality. I was a young guy. I was falling in despair. And as a newly converted, you know, I consider myself a convert because my family took care of me for baptism, and also they made sure that I received First Communion and confirmation, but that's it. So no really practice. And I was the first one actually getting involved in any kind of activity within the church. And here I am, just facing this visiting to elders in a nursing home. A challenge for me because I decided to do so. And for my surprise, it happened that being there, I was sent to the area where all the terminally ill were. And there was such a need for people to help out feeding them. And it was through that experience of being there just for lunch, spending time with them, feeding each one of them, and experiencing how important was the very simple action that I was doing. It was almost nothing for me. But for them, it was the difference between eating and not eating.
Mm.
And not only that, it took time. I was there for 5 years, every single weekend on Sundays. And what I realized little by little was that many, if not almost all of them, were there in that section for many years without even being taken out of that room. Why? Because there wasn't anyone mm-hmm. willing to do it. And the few persons who were there, they just couldn't handle it. They were doing their best to feed them, to take care of them, but they didn't have the time to take any one of them and take a ride with them to the patio even. Some of them, they were quiet, and for years they didn't speak anything, just confined to a wheelchair with no one visiting them for years. And there was a particular case, a case of one man who, Francisco, I still remember his name, who was always mad, never spoke to anyone for years, and who was actually there because his son told him that you're going to be very well here. The nuns will take care of you. No one is going to take better care of you. You will be okay. Rest well. I'm coming to see you tomorrow. And it had happened, I don't even remember, 10, 12 years, that this man was still waiting for that son to come back and visit him.
Mm.
So you can imagine how much he was at life, at people. But our presence there put us face to face, and we couldn't avoid it. So we started somehow with a lot of difficulty talking to him.
Mm.
But it was only until he shared his story that we, and I particularly, come to realize how fragile and how broken are our lives. And then I remember the gospel. Come here. Stay on my side because I was hungry and you feed me. I was sick and you visited me. And that made a whole change in my life. So that was my conversion.
Nice.
And my encounter with Jesus. One of the first ones. Very tough for me. And I couldn't do anything else but cry and commit myself to be there for this guy. And I learned a lot of things. They taught me so many things from life, real life. They shared with me their histories, sacred histories that I didn't know. But I had the opportunity, and I said yes to receive that knowledge from these people. And practically, they were my mentors. So I ended up loving that place.
Mm.
So they changed my life.
That's a great story. We're going to take a quick break, and we will come back for more.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sajit Silva and I work for Catholic Relief Services in Sri Lanka. During this Lent, respond to Pope Francis' invitation to share the journey and stand alongside those bearing the crosses of hunger and poverty by giving to CRS Rice Bowl. 25% of all funds raised in the Diocese of Chicago through CRS Rice Bowl stay in the Archdiocese of Chicago to help people in this community, with the remaining funds serving our brothers and sisters in countries around the world. Visit archchicago.org/CRS to learn more about the people and communities you support through your Lenten gift to CRS Rice Bowl.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years, then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll talk with Cardinal Blaise Cupich about worldwide protocols put in place by the Holy See following the historic meeting in Rome on the protection of children. And we'll give you a behind-the-scenes look at the televised Sunday Mass from Mercy Home for Boys and Girls.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Good morning. This is Clarissa Alhintera with the radio program Lifelong Journey, which is hosted by the Office of Lifelong Formation. I'm joined this morning with Adrian Badillo, and he's the Senior Coordinator of Adult Faith Formation in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And we were talking a little bit about his own encounter and experience with Jesus. And, you know, similarly, one of the first times I encountered Christ, also working with seniors, my family would get together after Mass. Just my immediate family, and we would go bring Holy Eucharist to the homebound. And we did that almost every Sunday for a couple years. And so we got to know the seniors. And the first time I really experienced loss was when it was a woman, Rose, who died. And, you know, we came one Sunday eager to see her, and she wasn't there, you know. And that's when I knew that the people we were visiting weren't just faces. You know, when I really felt the pain of her loss and when I got to experience Christ through them, through the people we visited. But it was also something that, and you kind of touched on this, but it wasn't until recently I realized that we did it as a family. That we didn't have a choice. At first, my parents wouldn't leave us because we were too young. But that's what we did. We served as a family. And I think that is such a powerful way in which we would shape adult faith formation. You know, to give adults, to give parents, to give those who are single, divorced, widowed, to give them an opportunity to continue to serve and know Christ through their community. I mean, yeah, it's interesting. We both had very powerful experiences at probably different times of our life, because I was in grade school. But it was with a population that we probably see as marginalized, you know, that maybe we don't think about. But really, when you think about it, there are people who are probably not coming to Sunday Mass, who are on the fringes, who maybe have been left by family, who aren't visited. It's powerful. It's really, really powerful when we feel that Christ has kind of sent us out, right, into the world. So I know this is a little fast forward, but when we're talking about being sent and kind of the practical application, how do you see the pieces that which you are working on to help people have those experiences that you and I had where we just felt like we have to go out. We can't just sit at home and binge watch Netflix and, you know, sit on our couch or just kind of stay comfortable. What about the things that you're working on you think will help people move beyond their comfort zone?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's faith or, you know, pieces of intellectual, what do you see there?
Yeah. Pope Francis, he's calling us to go to the margins, to go to the periphery. And probably we have to raise the question, what does margins mean? What periphery is about? Is it a physical location or what is it? Theological idea. And I think the margins is what is actually putting a boundary. And it places a space where someone is in, within the boundary, and there are some who are out of the boundary. And there are also some who live around the boundary,
mm-hmm.
probably coming in, going out. And those boundaries are the limitations for different status, qualities of life. It is, or different ways of people who may be accepted or not accepted within the circle, or who we think should be out of the circle. So, in margins, we may think, yeah, maybe a physical area. We can go to the outskirts of the cities or to certain neighborhoods where we say, oh, these are the marginalized people, which is true. It happens that way. But also, it may be something that is even a more theological concept, or it is even in our minds, because we can put in our minds also the margins, the limits. And in our minds, we accept this person, but we don't accept that one. And it can even come closer. It can come even to oneself. I do accept myself in these conditions, under these circumstances, but not on these ones. And I think that calls us for a formation that is going to uncover those things, and it's going to help us to go there, because definitely it's a zone that we don't want to be in. It's uncomfortable being in ourselves physically, ideologically. We don't want to go there because it creates instability. It creates a sort of uncertainty and fear. So that's why I think there are four dimensions that we have to work out. And the first one.
Oh, wait, can I? Yes. I'm going to stop you because we have to take a break. So let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and then we'll hear a little bit more about those dimensions.
Hi, my name is Mary Bielski, and I'm a national speaker and youth minister. And I'm excited to introduce you to our third Echo Theology of the Body Camp, held right here in Chicago. At Echo, we explore the teachings of St. John Paul II and address questions on themes like life, love, and human sexuality. Teens and young adults, please join us June 14th to the 20th at St. Xavier University for an amazing experience of prayer, fellowship, and tackling the deepest mysteries of life and love and even more. More information can be found on respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355. Again, that's 312-534-5355.
Hi,
Hi, my name is Ramona. I'm a caseworker at Catholic Charities. I wish you could meet Craig, age 23, shot 3 times and homeless for 2 years before I met him. The more we met and I listened to him, the more he impressed me. We're working on his resume and job hunting. We're called Chicago's Good Samaritan, and you can be one too. Might you have a job for Craig and thousands of others like him? Join us at CatholicCharities.net.
Rich Daniels is the director of the City Lights Orchestra and president of the Archdiocese of Chicago's Immigration Ministry Advisory Board.
It's about a safe background for the people who live here. It's about safe haven for those who want to come. And it's about a legal path that has sensible limits to it, that doesn't take $30,000 in legal fees to acquire. It doesn't take 16 years or 12 years to get yourself into that position. It really lacks any compassion and love for those people who really want to be a part of this country.
The Immigration Ministry promotes a society where immigrants are welcomed and where their cultural gifts are celebrated.
My goodness, this country would not be where we are today were it not for the immigrants from Ireland, from Poland, from Italy, from name it. It's just an amazing array of individuals who've come to our shores seeking a better life for themselves and their family.
Please support the Immigration Ministry by attending the Keep Hope Alive benefit Monday evening, May 13th, hosted by Cardinal Blaise Supich. For more information, call 312-534-8383. That's 312-534-8383.
Good morning. This is the radio program Lifelong Journey, a radio show hosted by the Office of Lifelong Formation, and I'm here with Adrian Badillo, and he is going to quickly tell us a little bit about the four dimensions before we close out our radio program so our listeners have a sense.
Yeah, four dimensions that I think should be included in any formative program for adults. The first one is the human and communitarian dimension, and this dimension has to be effective in allowing the person to discover him, herself, as a child of God. Many times we are looking at other people, oh, they are broken, but we are broken.
Mm-hmm.
And many of that brokenness happens because we just forget our dignity as children of God. If we discover ourselves with that dignity, then things are different. So we need someone to tell us, I love you, and you were created for me by love, because out of love, and I am willing to give my life for you again and again.
So the first one's dignity.
Yes.
What's the second one?
The second one, spiritual dimension. So we're people who definitely, we need to have this dimension, and it is very important to develop a sense of prayer, a sense of silence also. And we're going to be using sacred scripture, magisterium teaching, to create this sense of spirituality where we rediscover our passion, where all of this is coming from, and how it's talking to me personally. So spiritual beings and spiritual dimension, so important information, especially for us Christians, mm-hmm. Christian spirituality, coming especially from the gospel.
The third one?
The intellectual dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when we pray, we recognize ourselves with limits, human beings, and how we are created with dignity and all of that, but also we need to grow in our faith. So, and it is important to learn all the doctrine. That's important to give account of our faith, why we believe what we believe. And finally, the pastoral and missionary dimensions,
mm-hmm.
which is that all of that is not only for me, for myself, but this is to be shared with the world. And I have a commitment to that mission. It is Christ's mission and his mission becomes my mission. So as formative process, I have to end up on this, sharing what I have received.
That those are some very important and big pieces that I think our listeners are going to be digesting, or as they say in theology school, unpacking, you know, the four different dimensions. I wanted to just take this time to thank you, Adrian. That was a lot that we shared, that we learned.
You're welcome.
That I think we have a lot to look forward to, considering adults are probably like the biggest segment of the population that we're going to be trying to reach. As we look at kind of reformatting and re-energizing some of the initiatives that we'll have going in the Office of Lifelong Formation. I wanted to thank Adrian for spending his morning with us. You can definitely catch us every second Wednesday here. And this is the Lifelong Journey Show. You can find the Office of Lifelong Formation on Facebook, and it's www.facebook.com/OLF. Which stands for the Office of Lifelong Formation. My name is Clarissa Alhantara, and I'm the Senior Coordinator of Children's Ministry in the Office of Lifelong Formation. And you've been listening to Lifelong Journey here on 7:50 a.m. We look forward to seeing you again next month. Thanks so much. Have a good day.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for Catholic Chicago. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media.